thoroughly enjoyed ourselves. Thank you, folks, for putting up with me and Janet this week. And thank you again for all the good meals and good fellowship. And look forward to the next time. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Now, some of you are going to look at your notes and say, he preached that here already. That's all right. I'm going to preach it again. Amen? So that's what the Lord told me to preach. So I'm going to preach it. Amen. Paul, how many times did Paul tell his testimony over and over and over? If it's worth it once, it's worth it again. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning of verse 12. Paul says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray for a moment. Father, we thank you again for the time that we've had here today. Thank you for your sweet spirit. Thank you, God, for the sweet spirit amongst the people, for the good food that we were enabled to enjoy this afternoon, and the good singing this afternoon, testifying. God, it's always good to hear folks lift their voice and give praise unto you for where you brought them from and what you've done for them. God, we ought to give you the praise. And Father, I ask that you just bless your word. God, just help us this afternoon. Just to be submissive unto you, to listen to you, Father, to respond in a way that would be pleasing unto you. Now, Father, again, if there's one here this afternoon that does not know you as Savior, God, I pray you'd save them before it's eternally too late. And, Father, those of us who are your children, we pray, God, that you would just encourage us once again. In Jesus' name we pray, believing. Amen. Paul here is writing to young Pastor Timothy. He's the pastor of the church at Ephesus, and he'd been preaching there for some 3 years, and now he's turning the work over to young Pastor Timothy. And you go back to Acts chapter 19, you'll find this companion passage to this. And this is Timothy's first pastorate, and Paul, through 1 and 2 Timothy, warns him about several things. And here in the 1 Timothy, he warns him about false teachers, and you have to beware of them, and warns him about false doctrine. There's all kinds of stupid, ignorant doctrines running around out there today. You got to be careful of. About false worship. There is a false worship. There's that worship that, you know, a lot of these Pentecostal and charismatic churches will work up, they get you all worked up, and that's a false worship. You know, it's because it's more of the flesh than it is the spirit. I believe Friday night was of the spirit, and I believe today has been of the spirit as well. They told him he's going to have to find and ordain qualified leaders in the church to take the leadership positions. And so Paul, even though he's given him some exhortations here, he wants to be an encouragement to Pastor Timothy. I want to try to be an encouragement this afternoon. And that's what Paul was doing to Pastor Timothy here. And he uses the example of his own life to do so. And in these verses that we read down through here, I believe Paul is saying, Timothy, look what Jesus has done for me. Look what Jesus has done for me. Boy, all of us could stand. I mean, if you're saved and you know if you've experienced the mercy and grace of God, then you can stand and say, look what Jesus has done for me. The old man's dead. I ain't the same man I used to be. So Paul is saying, now, Timothy, look at me. Look what Jesus has done for me. And he wants to do the same for you. Notice in verse number 12, I see the testimony of this sinner. And as Paul starts out here, and he says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for be counted me worthy, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Here in verses 12 and 13, and then down in verse 15, Paul says, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Here's the testimony of a sinner. We see the deeds of this sinner. In verse 13, he said, I was before a persecutor, an injurious. He said he was a blasphemer. And so Paul's saying, hey, you know, here's the deeds of this sinner. And all of us, listen, if we're honest with ourselves, we could stand and say, boy, I don't like to glorify sin and say I did this and I did that and God saved me out of this. And, you know, God knows all about that. But we need to look at the deeds that we committed before we were saved. And Paul's saying here, Timothy, look at me. I was a blasphemer, I was a persecutor, and I was injurious. And we know the testimony of Paul. If you go back to Romans chapter 9, and actually back to chapter 7, when they were stoning Stephen, they placed their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. Then chapter 8, and I believe the first, second verses there, it says that Saul, wreaking havoc on the churches. And then we come to chapter 9, he's got letters from the magistrates, and he's going to go to Jerusalem and different places, and he was on his way to Damascus, and he was going to arrest those who were Christians and bring them back and put them into prison, and even put them to death, and he blasphemed. He thought he was serving God, but actually he was serving the devil. He said, look at the deeds of this sinner. But then he said, look at the deception of this sinner. Notice what it says there in the last part of verse 13. He said, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. He had been deceived by the great deceiver. Listen, there's a multitude of people out there today who are being deceived by the great deceiver, Satan. He's the great deceiver. He will deceive people and say, well, if you do this, you know, you'll be happy. And if you do this, and if you get involved in this, and you have premarital sex, and if you have, you know, take out this drug, or if you drink this alcohol. And I mean, he's just a great deceiver. And he'll even deceive you in the way of a religion as well, or Christianity. So he said, I did this ignorantly in unbelief because he had been deceived by Satan. But then I see the diagnosis of this sinner. Down in verse 15, he says, howbeit for this cause, or back verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He saw himself as the chief of sinners, the highest ranking of sinners. And this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He says, I'm the chief. I'm the worst of them all. Now, there was probably those throughout history that were as bad or if not worse than Paul, but he saw himself as the chief of sinners, and that's what we need to see. Not say, I'm better than that person over there. I don't do what this person does. I must be okay. I'm not involved in things they're involved in. No. I'm the chief of the sinners. See, we have the testimony of the sinner. We see his deeds, his deception, but praise God, we see his diagnosis. Then look at the testimony of a saint. Notice what he says in verse 13. He says, who was before? Who was before? Now he's going back. He says, this is what I was before. He said, I was a blasphemer and persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Here we have the testimony of a saint. Here his life has changed. Back in verse 13, he says, who was before? That's past tense. This is what I was before I met Christ. Before I met Jesus on the Damascus Road, and now he's given the testimony of a saint, and he talks about the means of his conversion there in verses 13 and 14. Verse 14, he says, "And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus." Here he says, because of the grace and mercy of God, I'm a saint. Did you know that I am St. Gary? Well, you all look at me like a calf looking at a new gate. Go over to Romans chapter 1. Let me just show you a verse of scripture there. Paul here, writing to the church at Rome. In verse 1, this is Romans 1:1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated into the gospel. Verse 6, among whom are ye also called of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. I am St. Gary. That's St. Janet. I don't know where they get some of these saints that they get out there, but I'm a saint. Because of the grace and mercy of the Lord, and because of the faith that I can have in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that grace is a gift of God. Faith is a gift of God. So here he gives the testimony. The means of his conversion is the grace and mercy of his God. And the manifestation of his conversion is through the faith and love of Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful that Jesus loves the unlovable? He loves the ungodly. He loves the unholy. I know, because he loves me. Testimony of a saint. But then we have the testimony of a servant. Verse number 12. Notice what he says. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And here is a testimony of a servant. Preacher, Brother Tim quoted part of the verse. I believe it's, I don't know if it's today or yesterday or Friday or when it was, but in John chapter 15 and verse 16, it says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. Boy, when I first got saved, God was giving my heart, and I was praying and reading the Word of God, and I ran across that verse in John chapter 15. He says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. I said, wait a minute, I chose you on that Monday night. Then the Lord says, go over to Ephesians. Go with me over to Ephesians chapter 1. I like this. See if I can find the verse. I wasn't planning on going here, so. Oh, verse 4. Ephesians 1, verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He chose me before the foundation of the world. Before he ever created this universe, he knew that on March 21st, 1977, I was going to get saved by the grace of God. So when he says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. Did you know you're ordained of God? If you're saved, you're ordained to go and bring forth fruit, that whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. The reason for his service here, he says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me. Paul realized where his enabling came from. Came from the Lord. Is not he the one who penned the words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So we have the testimony of a servant. The reason for his service, that God had put him in the service because he showed that he was faithful. Notice that he says he hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful. We've got to be faithful. The resource of his service is the enabling power of the Holy Spirit of God, which, by the way, we all have. It's not me getting more of the Spirit. It's the Spirit getting more of me. Because I got all the Holy Ghost I'm going to get when I got saved. So we have the testimony of a sinner. We have the testimony of a saint. We have the testimony of a servant. But then in verse 16, we have the testimony of a showpiece. Notice what it says in verse 16. He says, "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering." Why? "For a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Here is a testimony of a showpiece. He said, "I obtained mercy, that in me first Christ might show forth all longsuffering. And then, for a pattern, that I might be a pattern, a showpiece unto them which should hereafter believe." Listen, he said first, he did it in me, and now I'm to be a showpiece, I'm to be a pattern for those who should believe hereafter. We are to set the right example. Listen, you ladies understand what a pattern is. Even us men, we understand what a pattern is. We've looked at blueprints or you get that swing set, you go to put it together, and say, "Well, I better get the instructions." That's the pattern, amen. When you try and you can't figure it out, so I guess it's time to get the instructions. Can't put that barbecue grill together. We are to be a pattern, a showpiece of the mercy and grace of God. He said, first in me, because I was saved by his mercy and grace, who was before a blasphemer and an injurious and a persecutor. He says, "But his love and his mercy and his grace has brought me to the place that now I am to be a showpiece. I am to be a pattern for those who should afterwards be saved." What kind of pattern are you? You know, if the pattern gets off, it'll sure mess things up. Testimony of a showpiece. Boy, he talks about his long suffering here. Boy, God is long suffering. Been me, I'd wiped out this world a long time ago. God wanted to several times. Back in Genesis chapter 5, verse 6. God saw that the imaginations of the thoughts of the heart were only evil continually, and he sent the flood. Noah and his wife and his daughters and sons-in-laws were saved. Children of Israel coming out of Egypt, they got to murmuring and disputing against Moses and against God, and God wanted to wipe them out, and Moses went to him and says, "Wait a minute," God says, "You don't want to bring them out here in the wilderness and then kill them. Because then they're going to say, look what God did. You know, he took them out there in the wilderness, killed them." He's long-suffering. Yes. Patient. Testimony of a showpiece. But then notice verse 17. I like verse 17. He says, "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." You know what I see here? The testimony of a song leader. Testimony of a song leader. He gets up and he said, "Now, unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." I can see him getting up there and leading them on. Okay, come on now. "Unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory both now and forever and ever. Amen." Yeah. Leading them on. He's trying to encourage Timothy, even though he knows he's going to share some things with him and tell him some things that are going to have, he's going to have to buckle down and be careful of these things, of false teachers and false doctrine and false worship and all the things he's going to have to face here. But at the same time, he says, "Timothy, I want to be an encouragement to you." And he winds up by being a song leader and just trying to encourage him. What would be good if we all just said, "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory both now and forever. Amen. There's two or three of you awake. Amen. Look what Jesus has done for me. That's what Paul's saying. Timothy, look what Jesus has done for me. And you know what? He can do the same for you. He can do the same for you because you're a sinner that's been saved by a grace that makes you a saint. And you can be a servant. And you can be a showpiece. You can be a pattern unto those that come in around you. And you can be a song leader and encourager.
Yes. Amen.
An encourager. Encourage them on. Listen, it does me good when I get a text or I get a phone call from a friend and says, hey, I just want to let you know I'm praying for you. Praying for you. I just want you to know that I'm praying for you. Good friends of ours down in Mississippi, Brother Randall Boatner and his wife, Miss Sandy. Miss Sandy's battling cancer. And every once in a while, I'll just send a little text. Randall, praying for you and Miss Sandy. Last text I sent to him, I said, Brother Randall, I says, I can understand what you're going through because he knew what we went through with our daughter-in-law. I said, I just want to let you know that God is able. God is still on the throne. But you know, we need to remember too that God is sovereign.
Yes.
We need to understand the sovereignty of God. You know, the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die.
Yes.
We all have an appointment. Listen, Paul's saying, look what Jesus has done for me.
Yes. Amen.
He wants to do the same for you and I.
Yes. Amen.
Just to be an encouragement. Look what Jesus has done for me.
Yes.
Let's stand together.